Welcome to For the Go podcast. We are back. I got my Fred Warner jersey in 75 thing. You know, it's kind of bullshit because it's
clean.
You know, it is clean, but you look at the website and you think it's stitched. And this is the iron-on one. So if the Niners are watching this or Fanatics is watching this, just send me the patch. I'll be really happy with the patch. But we are Colin Kaepernick days away from training camp, Fern. This offseason is finally coming to an end. Offseason has been long, stressful. Oh. Everything under the sun, it's been. But how have you been, Fern? What's going on?
Man, I've been great. I've been really, really good. The kids are on my last nerve, in all honesty. I'll be 100%. They need to go back to school. I need them back in school. Work's been all right, though. I got a little trip to Baltimore coming with the kids this weekend, so hopefully we can have a good time hitting up the aquarium. But work's work, man. I'm just happy, like you said. I mean, we are 7 days from like actually having brand new controversies, battle. Like we're like, this is like real. So we're close, man. We're so close.
Absolutely. And yeah, I agree with you. I can't wait for my kids to go back to school. Anthony will be in first. And then Julian got accepted to preschool, which is kind of a big deal in our house because, you know, he's going through speech therapy and occupational therapy. So he finally said, Dad. Clearly the other day. So he's been saying it more and more often. I think he's added like, hey, come here, come on. He's starting to put things together. So shout out to my little guy, getting those things going.
Let's go.
But this is the For the Go podcast. I'm Javi. That is Fern. As always, subscribe, rate, review on YouTube, Google Play, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at @JaviVig_ my guy DZ0880 on Twitter as well. Yes. Fern, the Niners had some stuff in the news the other day. We'll talk about the first one, and that was Trey Lance and his training brawl. Some folks who had some weird opinions about it, but you know what the way my brain works, you know what? Let's put that on a t-shirt. So for everyone out there who's bought more, has bought Fourth and Gold gear. I'm gonna start putting these out. These Trey Watch t-shirts. I'll put the link out here in the next couple of days once I get it going. So make sure you cop that. It's gonna go to a good cause. So Trey Watch it is, and I'll make sure we get t-shirts out to the folks who order them. But what do you think, man? Are we overblown, overhyped? What do you think?
The fact that that's even something people are talking about is the most ridiculous thing of it. I truthfully have no idea why this is even something that people are talking about. The dude's a professional athlete. He's out there at a high level. And you know what? All this technology out there, use it. I mean, maybe it's a little funky looking. I mean, maybe you would think they could do something a little sexier. I don't know. But at the end of the day, he's out there. He's figuring out heart rate. He's figuring out the best way to recover. Like, he's out there using technology. Let the guy go. I don't understand. You know what? I think he looks fresh. And I can't wait to cop the t-shirt, Javi. So make it happen.
I think our fathers would have had a heart attack if either one of us wore those.
Like, listen, my dad was wearing the shortest short shorts, like maybe even like jean shorts and white beaters. And we'd go out to play basketball and he was playing defense up. So he has no room to talk. My father has awful taste in clothing. And at least this guy's out here a real athlete. Meanwhile, my dad was a outdoor basketball court. He thought he was a champion out there. Yeah. Street baller.
Sand Island back in the day.
No.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. You know, 49ers fans should be happy that Trey is one, training, two, using the technology available to him, two, you know, get the best results for his training regimen, practices, whatever he's using it for. You know, I started doing a little bit of deep dive into this sports bra. You know, it measures a whole bunch of stuff. And, you know, I mentioned it on my other podcast with my guy, Leo Luna, Niner Nation. A lot of soccer players use it, and it's a really great tracking device for efficiency, breathing, heart rate, just the way these guys train and their regimen. Yeah. So, you know, it was overblown, big deal. The news kind of, you know, it was gone the next day because of this Richard Sherman situation, which I don't really want to get into because honestly, I think me and you both agree it's none of our business. That's a family man. It's family matters. That's right. Our concerns.
So. That's my biggest thing with the whole Sherm thing is there are certain lines that I don't cross, man. Right. That Mr. Potato, I told him the second he hopped on that 54 looks so fresh. He just needs the real patch. He needs
that's
the real it. Patch
that's
on
all
there.
I need. Everything else is stitched.
It's gorgeous. I need to get one, but I kind of want the white one, the white 54. But yeah, my whole thing with Sherm is there's certain lines I'm not going to cross, and it's this dude's family and it's his mental health. He needs to get right. Like, prayers up. Hopefully he gets the help he needs, and I'm sure he will. But yeah, there are lines I don't want to touch on. I don't want to cross. And those are family lines. Like, that's none of my business. I'm out of that one. Just get the help you need. And make sure the family's straight. So that's all I care about.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to Richard Sherman, his family, everyone involved. Hopefully everyone is getting there, getting everything situated and taken care of as they need. As you're watching this, we're hoping for game 7. Phoenix is up 47-42. And then me and Fern, we are kind of slowly getting sucked back in
to the Yankees.
Yankees are up 5-2 against the Phillies. We'll see how this goes. They keep reeling us back in. It's like the Godfather 3 scene. Every time I thought I've been out this year, they've sucked me back in with
a win or something. It's really the saddest. This season has been just sad for me emotionally as a Yankee fan. And I just told you before we got on what they're going to do, the way this season's going, they're going to cut this thing to 3-4 games out of the top for the AL East. And then something's going to happen. And then right when I'm like, we're about to make the run, and then we'll lose 5 of 7 or and just totally go back to the bottom barrel. But they've got me intrigued. At least I'm intrigued right now, so I'll take
yeah,
that.
That's how the Niners had me last year when they beat the Patriots and the Rams in back-to-back games. Like, oh, here we go, and then never mind. But we are 7 days away from training camp, so the 27th at 49ers will report to Santa Clara. It is report day, so you know these guys will get acclimated, and I think you won't see any team activities until like the 30th, I believe it is, for practices. So, like, the first couple of days, obviously, get guys back into a routine, a regimen with the 49ers. So, you know, what better way to get into it? Let's talk about it, Fern.
Yeah, man.
Matt Maiocco, you know, I'm Niner beat reporter, probably the most respected out of all the guys that are out there. He made a suggestion that if, you know, Sermon, Gallman, Mitchell, Hasty, these guys show out really well in camp, the Niners could dangle Raheem Mostert in a trade. Now is he saying the Niners should trade Raheem? No, absolutely not. He's just making a suggestion, probably based on some information he's gotten. You know, I don't think he just throws things out there, but I disagree with the notion of trading Raheem Mostert. I think he's more valuable to this team now as constructed, as opposed to receiving what, a 5th, 6th round pick for the guy.
Yeah.
You know, and utilizing his skill set, like we did in 2019, where we didn't really use them all season. We used them sparingly, 10, 12, 15 carries a game, and you get the most out of the guy. So I'm not on that train to trade Raheem. I think he has more value on this 49ers team than he does in a trade, right?
Yeah, you know, I agree to a degree, I should say. I agree to a degree. So, you know, what's the return on him? And it's unlikely that it's anything higher than something like you just mentioned, right? Like a 5th round. Who knows how this would all pan out. But the intriguing part is I feel like for the first time in a couple years, now health aside, but if healthy, I really like the stable running backs that we have right now. And that is with Mostert including. That's him included in that list with Sermon, and I really like Allman. Like, so in my opinion, I want to add him to that stable of backs so that Kyle just can really just unload an arsenal, just boom, 4 or 5, you know, because really this is a really, really deep running back room right now. And unfortunately, not everyone will be on here when it's all said and done, when final cuts are made. But I would, I'd be hard pressed to think a 5th round pick is, especially for a guy whose contract seems, you know, very reasonable, for him not to be here. Because like you said, if he doesn't need to be maybe a bell cow type of back, and we can really just rotate a bunch of different really special running backs that we have, this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have fresh legs going into later in the season, where we can figure out who's playing the best football and just kind of plug and play. So I'd like to keep him on there unless someone really is desperate for a running back and they think, you know, they really want to go out there and put something, you know, pay a good amount for a back like Mostert. But for what he gets paid, I think it makes more sense to have him on here.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we dug into it a couple days ago, or I dug into it, you know, just he's more, you know, you want to have him at that 110 to 130 carry number, right? So that means he's giving you 8-9 carries a game, and you're getting the most out of him, where he can get you those 7-9 yard gains. And of course, we all know Raheem, if he has a lane, he's going to take it to the house. Like, he's, mm-hmm. you know, oh, there's not yeah. many guys who can catch him in the open field. We saw that last year against the Cardinals. We saw it against the Jets. We saw it against plenty of teams in 2019, you know, that inside trap game against the Seahawks, the Saints. They did it against the Rams. Like, once that lane opens up, it's really hard for anyone to get a spot on them. So it is ideal. Now, the Niners draft two running backs, Trey Sermon, Elijah Mitchell. I'm in the camp of thinking Trey Sermon gets the bulk of the carries, and I'm saying 200, 220 carries out of Trey Sermon. And that's, again, this is not to discredit Raheem Mostert. I just think Kyle Shanahan has finally got his third three-down back to where he has a decent pass-blocking running back. He has a powerful runner and a runner who can do all things inside, outside, and power run scheme. And then, of course, the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. Now, is he going to use Sermon all three downs every series? Probably not, but you have that flexibility with him. So I think you want to have this thunder and lightning type of dynamic between those two, right? And then, of course, you can spell Gallman in there. You throw Mitchell in there. You throw Hasty in there if he's there. And then Jeff Wilson Jr., you know, he is expected back midway through the year. And we all know the 49ers go through running backs like I change my shirts. You know what I mean? I change shirts every day, and it's every other, you know, every – I change shirts like twice a day. I shower a crazy amount of times a day. It's just
sweat a lot, bro. Yeah, you're out here sweating a lot.
It's too hot down here in Texas, but – you know, we've seen this happen with the Niners. Guys get injured. You know, we experienced it all of 2020. You know, Coleman gets hurt, and then here comes Jeff Wilson. He has a really good game, and then boom, he sprains his ankle. And then Raheem's back, but then he has an MCL sprain. And then it keeps going. Hasty comes in, he breaks his collarbone. So you want to have a stable of backs continuously, you know, rotating, so that way these guys don't get injured.
Yeah.
You saw it in 2019 as well. You know, early on in the year, Jeff Wilson was kind of stealing touchdowns early on, but Breida was your bigger back. Midway through the year, Tevin Coleman takes off. We all remember the game against the Panthers. I think he had 4 touchdowns or something like that.
Yeah.
And then towards the back end of the year, Raheem nearly had 1,000 yards rushing, you know, and 9 or 10 touchdowns on the back end of the year. So you want to have a rotation, and I think this is a way to do that. But I think big part of it is Sermon is going to be a guy where Kyle doesn't have to rotate as much. He's going to count on him to be a guy who could be 200, 230 carries. So I think for sure RB1 is Sermon, and then you have your, you know, your change of pace will be Raheem, who can also give you that power and whatever else you want.
You know, so I think Sermon is going to supplant Mostert as the lead back for the 49ers this year. I just think it's going to be a couple weeks before that happens. So unless he's out there in training camp and he's just crushing it in preseason with, you know, the limited snaps that he's going to get. But I do think by week 3, I could absolutely see him being, you know, especially if everyone's healthy, I could just see him getting more work than everyone else. But I think this is going to be really tough. And I just think about it sometimes, even from like a fantasy football perspective. And you remember those, pretty much all of those Patriots teams where you might, from one week to another, one week, one running back will have 3 touchdowns. And then the next week they just wouldn't play. It'd be a do not play for no reason whatsoever. Just they'd be off that week, and it'd be someone else's turn. And I think that's what's going to happen for this Niners team, because there's really, really talented running backs here. And I think Trey Sermon, it is literally just a matter of time before he becomes the next like big time running back for the 49ers. I think he can beat you in so many different ways, and Kyle is going to utilize every single one of those. I just think to start the year, maybe the first couple weeks, Mostert's going to get the benefit of the doubt. He's used to the system, and he's going to get some of those bulk of the carries. And by week 3, 4, I could absolutely see Sermon getting the majority of those carries and starting to steal a little bit from Mostert, you know, week in and week out, until eventually he's getting, you know, when we're in crunch time in his fourth quarter and we're driving the ball down, I think it's going to be Sermon when it's all said and done.
Yeah, no, I agree there too. But I also, and part of it as well is, you know, this is where you have the ability to, you know, you have the that thunder and lightning concept. You know, Sermon is your guy for most of the game, and then the back end of the game where the other defense is tired after beaten into submission. And we all know Kyle is ruthless with his play calling. You know, he'll run the score up on you if he has to. And hey, you really want to tackle Raheem in the open field? Good luck. You know, here comes this outside zone and he's gone for 70. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things, kind of just to just put the final nail in the coffin of the game, where you have that speedster with Mostert, who was saved most of the games because you limited his carries and you got the most out of him. You're optimizing his abilities by not having to use him so often. So
I can absolutely agree with that. I mean, if they can do that to where they can save those carries from Mostert, because again, that's what you want. You want Mostert to be fresh and be able to just take off when he sees that little bit of space, be able to take off because he's got the speed to beat everybody. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's also with all of these running backs, if we go down the list, I mean, they all add a dimension. There's speed, there's power, there's receiving. I mean, this list of running backs between Gallman, Mostert, Mitchell, Sermon, Hasty, Wilson, you have an arsenal of running backs that can do so many different things. And unfortunately, you know, not all of them are going to be here by week one. I mean, at the very least, maybe one of them might not be on here, and it's going to be a good running back that ends up not maybe making the team, a pretty good one. So what do you think? Before we ask you, out of that list of stable running backs, who you think's, you know, the odd man out maybe? Also, do you think we ever see Mostert and Sermon on the field at the same time?
To answer this question, yes, because I've done it in Madden. There's like a formation where you can put I have Trey Lance and I got Mostert to the left, I got Sermon to the right, and this is like play action slide play where they cross in front of Lance's face and one runs a little dig route, the other one runs a wheel route, and then literally Mostert's open, wide open all the time. So I just throw it to Mostert. So I think there is a possibility where Kyle gets really, really creative and puts Sermon and Mostert on the field at the same time.
It's dangerous.
Confuse the shit out of a defense and linebackers. So yes, I think Kyle has that stuff up his sleeve. The odd man out is one of my favorite guys. It's Hasty. I really like Hasty, but it's just, you know, it's you got to follow the money. Undrafted free agent. They just spent two draft picks on running backs who they probably like a lot. And are you really going to get much from Mostert in the trade? So probably not. And then Sermon obviously is making his team as a third round pick. So you're going to roll with four. Now, is there a scenario where they roll with five running backs and six really? Because then you keep Juszczyk at fullback and maybe go light in the tight end room. Or maybe go light in the wide receiver room, which we'll get to. I see your questions in the chat. We'll get to the wide receiver discussion in a second.
Yes.
I think the odd man out is probably going to be Hasty.
Okay.
It could be a situation where they might keep Hasty. And then once Jeff Wilson is back, you see a potential, hey, let's try to sneak Hasty on waivers, get him back, and then put Jeff Wilson in the lineup again and kind of go back to that. And then you got a real power back scenario with his Sermon and Wilson. And then you have that speed element of Mitchell and Mostert. So the Niners are in a really good spot with their running back. I'm not too concerned about it, but yes, if I can do it in Madden, Kyle's probably doing it in real life.
I hear that. And then at least with Jeff Wilson being on PUP, right? I mean, that at least provides a little bit of time to figure out exactly how this is going to play itself out and who that odd man out's going to be. Because if he was healthy, I mean, it would be a real trouble right now, this second, having all of these healthy running backs going in to camp, trying to figure out who's going to make this. At least, you know, unfortunately, Jeff Wilson's hurt, and that's awful. But I guess, you know, is Hasty going to make the team? Is he going to be the odd man out? At least they have some time to see what this may look like moving forward. But
yeah,
we'll see. But this is one of the places I'm most confident in, is that running back room, and we have plenty of talent.
Yeah, absolutely. So that room is probably least concerning. Mm-hmm. Daniel Meyer asked, what are your thoughts on wide receiver three? Good thing that was on our agenda today. Wide receiver three, the Niners have quite a few wide receivers on this roster. Obviously, we know the main two are going to make this team. Deebo and Ayuk are going to make the team. Jalen Hurd, we shall see. what he is, if he's healthy enough to play. Sanu was another guy, you know, he should be healthy enough to play. So those two probably make the team. So there's your four. The Niners generally keep five or six. You know, I said it on the podcast with Leo. It says I'm not too concerned with wide receiver three because, in my opinion, Kittle is wide receiver one, Ayuk is wide receiver two, and Debo is wide receiver three. And everyone, you know, for anyone with a with just any kind of notion or just follows the Niners, Kyle gets guys wide open all the time. So I don't really think he's going to need a certain player to fill this role, right? Kendrick Bourne wasn't a burner in college. He's an undrafted free agent. He gave you about 17% of the receptions over the last 4 years because a lot of that was getting him wide open. You know, he had good hands. For all those who said he had too many drops, like I said, he had three in 2019. Like, let the guy go. Debo had way more. Debo had like 9 or 10. So, I mean, I'm hoping Hurd can give the Niners 30 receptions. If he gives you 30 receptions for 400 yards and three touchdowns, that's a win, right?
I think so.
River Craycraft can give you 15 receptions for 200 and a touchdown, that's a win. You know, what you're really expecting is Ayuk to be Justin Jefferson, 88 catches, 1,400 yards, seven touchdowns, right? And you're expecting Kittle to give you 1,400 yards receiving on 75 catches and hopefully six or seven, eight. Hopefully double-digit touchdowns, because Vernon Davis got double-digit touchdowns twice in his career. So Kittle should be able to do the same thing. Debo, he gives you the running back element and the receiving element, right? So he's another one. He almost cracked 1,000 yards in 2019. He should also be a guy who can give you 65, 70 receptions because he's a yak. He's a yak guy. He's going to break a lot of tackles.
Stay healthy. Stay healthy.
So, you know, I'm not too concerned about it. So if I were to you know, if my wish would be wide receiver three would be Jalen Hurd. Like I would like to see what this is all about finally, right? Like that's what we've been waiting on. Kind of like we were waiting on Jet McKinnon. That didn't pan out. So hopefully this Jalen Hurd thing pans out and he gives them something, because that's a third round pick. If you don't give anything out of him, that's a wasted pick.
It's just
flat out. And it's not his fault. It's just, hey, you took a guy that you knew had injury history concerns. He has an issue with his back his first year. Then he tears his ACL, which is not his fault because ACL injuries just happen. Mm-hmm. It's just you got to get something out of Jalen Hurd at this point.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely make or break time for Jalen Hurd. I think you and I are both in the same boat. I mean, when he was out there, I mean, he's an exciting player and he offers, you know, the size and the strength and the physicality that you want. He can do a lot of different things, but I do think it's scary because while you're very confident in wide receiver three, and I get it because of having Kittle and Debo and Brandon, you know, you don't need a lot necessarily from that wide receiver three, but I want someone to be able to get in there and really cause, you know, pick up big first downs for us when some of our receivers on the outside are blanketed or someone's all over. George Kittle. So I want somebody to be able that I can count on, and I'm not sure who that is. So it's a concern for me. I'd love for it to be Jalen Hurd.
Yeah.
I'd love for him to be healthy. But then if I look through the list of everyone else, I mean, is River ready? I don't think so, even though I like him. Math. Right? Like I like him a lot. And I'd love for him to take a massive step forward and like really put
there's
himself
no way that's
in a
his
position.
Name, though, right? Like River Craycraft. Like I don't.
I mean, it's cool. I mean, if it is like legitimately his legal birth name, that's pretty dope. I mean, I don't know. My parents didn't even think I'm the third. Like they just were like, all right, yeah, he's a boy, Fernando. That's cool. Like, and they didn't even think. At least River. I mean, you've got to think about that. And that's like a cool name, but. He's a guy I really want. I want him to do well. I know you've got relationship, you know, that from talking with was Austin Watkins, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you've spoken with, but that's a lot to ask already of somebody like that. And then Sanu, is he healthy? I mean, is he ready to actually get in there? Because he's a guy that I think could be really valid. If he is healthy, I think he could absolutely be wide receiver three from the start. Even if Jalen Hurd is, I mean, Jalen Hurd's going to, if Jalen Hurd's healthy, he's going to get out there and he's going to get time. But I think Kyle's going to be really careful with him, and just because I think Kyle thinks really highly of him and can see the promise. And it's just a matter of he needs to be right before we get him back out on the field. Because the last thing you want is to feel like you got to put him out there and then he gets a freak accident again or something happens. I mean, you need him out there. You got to see what he can do when it's all said and done. But Sanu's a very, very interesting one to me because, you know, we remember when he was out there and in the past in what he can do, but we haven't seen it for a few years now. And is he healthy? I don't know. I mean, from the looks of it and from the buzz on social media, I mean, it seems like he's in a good place physically to be able to go out there and compete. And if he is, I think he adds a really nice dimension with Kittle and Brandon and Debo, you know, to be able to go out there and really, really be a nice safety blanket for our quarterbacks as a wide receiver number three.
Yeah, and I think if Sanu is right, you know, you move him outside and you slide Debo into that
Debo
slot.
In? Right. Debo in? Debo in.
Yeah.
Oof, put, that's like meant Debo, for Debo.
Yeah. Put Debo in the slot and you can, you know, create a nice safety blanket for Trey or Jimmy, whoever's at quarterback. So it's just, I'm not too worried about it. I think they have enough guys here. Trent Sherfield's a guy that I think will make the team.
You're not thinking, what do you think about Travis, Benjamin, and Kevin? I mean,
No. At this point in their careers, you know, they're camp guys, and that's just it. You know, you're 31, Travis, you didn't play last year. Kevin White, you know, first round pick. He really only does one or two things, and that's post and nine routes, and that's just kind of his game. So just doesn't fit the need there. Austin Watkins, I think he'll probably make the practice squad, kind of stash him there, let him develop. Hopefully he can develop. Andy Jones doesn't do anything for me. Richie James, I think that's kind of over.
Do you think it's over? No, don't you say that. Do you think it's over?
For Richie James?
Is Richie James' time in San Francisco over?
I don't think he makes the team. I think part of it is because of the money they spend on Trent Sherfield. Trent Sherfield came in as a special teamer. They spent a little bit of money to get him. I would go with Trent Sherfield there as your sixth wide receiver, and he's your special teams guy, punt and kick return guy. So, you know, that's just kind of where I'm at with that.
So you're telling me no more Richie returning punts.
I know it warms your heart. I know.
I'm not saying that. I'm just asking, are you telling me that this time is over?
I think so.
I'm going to take your word for it.
We got plenty of time to find out.
I'm interested to see. Look, I mean, if Richie's out there balling, then hey. And I think Mike Person said it last time he was on with us. You know, Kyle's going to do whatever's in the best interest of the organization and of this team.
Yep.
Feelings aside. So if Richie's doing everything, hey, go for it. Get on the team, make the team, and go out there and contribute. And if not, I'm ready to see someone else back there returning punts. I can tell you that much. that's just, you know how I feel about that.
I know.
What about Juwan Jennings?
Jennings, another one. I think he'll probably sneak on the practice squad again. He's a guy who just needs a little more refinement. Can he come and play? Sure. I just don't know what he gives you that is better than Sanu or Hurd if Hurd and Sanu are healthy. So it's
absolutely
just
not.
It's a tough spot. You need a special teamer. So that's where Trent Sherfield comes in. And then, you know, is Craycraft better than Jennings? I guess that's kind of where you're splitting hairs on your six. Because like I said the other day, Debo, Ayuk, Hurd, Sanu, Craycraft, Sherfield will be my six. For this team now, there's one spot that's being fought over, and that's that fifth wide receiver spot, because I think six will be Sherfield because of special teams. So Jennings, James, and Craycraft are fighting for that spot.
I think Craycraft, I would have rather kept
Kendrick Bourne, but that's just me, but whatever.
Yeah, but he's going to be out there dancing up in the Northeast, New England territory.
Oh, my God.
He's not going to like that winter. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Let's see.
So, my guy, Kobe, he asks, whether Tony Jefferson makes the roster and what role he possibly could have. Yes, I think he makes the roster. Tavares Moore is on injured reserve. I think that just opened the door for Tony Jefferson to make the roster. I think, and I was just sitting, I was watching some 2017 49ers. If anyone remembers what they did with Eric Reed, they kind of utilized him as a linebacker slash hybrid safety. I think they'll move Tart into that Jamal Adams type of role, run with three safeties, use Tart as more of a blitzer, more of a pass rusher type of player to where he can generate some more turnovers, put Tony Jefferson and Jimmy Ward in coverage. Now, I have no insight on this. This is just me thinking, looking at some old tape and watching what the Seahawks did with Jamal Adams, just kind of seeing how they might, you know, kind of create some hodgepodge of coverage looks with that. So, yeah, Tony Jefferson makes the team. I think you'll see significant snaps. I think the Niners would like to run a lot of three safety looks, go to a lot more man coverage this year, be able to potentially, this is where Fred Warner comes in. You know, I think Fred spoke about being able to blitz more. So if you're sending Fred, that means you're putting Tart in coverage, and Tart's one of the better coverage safeties in the league. So, you know, that's just another, that kind of helped my thinking out when I was looking at the tape. Because Eric Reed, we all know Eric towards the end of his career in San Francisco wasn't the greatest coverage guy, but he did make some plays when he was asked to do those things, whether it was to blitz or to play off in coverage while they sent Reuben Foster or Brock Coyle on those blitzes during that 2017 season.
Oh, man.
So, you know, I'm just looking at that, and then I was looking at Seattle's tape from last year. So it was just, you know, just kind of thinking what they could do. But, yes, Tony Jefferson for sure makes his team. The Niners have a decent safety room as well. So, but I also think they're going to be drafting a safety in this 2022 draft. So yeah. I haven't started looking yet. I have, but I haven't.
So you're thinking Jefferson more of like a blitzing type of safety role, like more role provided, you know, if we're blitzing and we want to bring in some different kind of look.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking more for him?
Yeah, I'm thinking just that. Kinda, and I'm thinking,
hey, just coverage. Go after it. Out in coverage as well?
Yeah, I think you're going to get a lot of that. I think they want to use Tart the way they use Jamal Adams in Seattle.
Okay.
So, which would allow Tony Jefferson to get on the field and play that coverage. So,
yep, I can definitely agree with the coverage aspect in terms of being able to use our safety room and be able to do a lot of different looks and blitzing various safeties. You know, he's my guy, but I think Ufanga is going to hit the quarterback quite a bit. I think his progression, I think he's going to start this year as an individual who's going to be assigned to get after it. Let's really get out there and cause mayhem, hit a quarterback, go blitz. And I think that's what he's going to start. It's going to be his primary role, in my opinion. Go out there and just really cause mayhem. Foot on the gas, go hit a quarterback. Let's blitz some safeties and do that. But Jefferson, I agree with you in that aspect. Definitely on the team and use him in a variety of different roles because we definitely have some really neat, unique safeties out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's stay on the defense real quick. Defensive line is another battle that I don't think is being talked about enough. I think the Niners had made some really solid additions and also kept some guys of their own. The additions that I really liked was the Maurice Hurst addition from Oakland or Las Vegas, whatever you want to call them. and then Zach Kerr from Carolina.
Yep.
You know, you're bringing these two guys in to play next to or rotate with DJ Jones, Kevin Givens.
Dude, what does that mean for Kevin? That's,
I think Kevin Givens is going to get a lot of snaps this year.
Yeah, I hope so. He's an exciting player that even
in state.
Yeah, right. I mean, I was really excited for him going into this year, and then with the additions, I'm hoping he still gets his opportunity to shine. You know, I'm hoping we'll see how it all plays out, but I'm hoping he gets enough snaps.
Yeah, I think the Niners thinking here was to get more of an interior pass rush, right? Mm-hmm. So you're getting Zach Kerr, who's a decent pass rusher. Maurice Hurst, also a decent pass rusher when he's healthy and available for Las Vegas. So he allows them to a rotation. And we all know the concerns with DJ Jones and his ankle. It's not that DJ Jones can't play. He just has an ankle issue, you know, after 9 games. He's a big man. He moves very quickly. So I can see where those things can come into play. And you want to have a rotation of interior defensive linemen And mm-hmm. we all know that's part of why the Niners went to the Super Bowl in 2019. The defensive line was like 9-10 deep rotating. So you want that. Now, are the Niners expecting more of an interior pass rush as opposed to the edge rushers? Maybe, because Ibukam has never had more than, what, 4 sacks in the season?
Yeah.
And then you want to limit the snaps on Nick Bosa. So there's a lot of – you can kind of see the vision, what the Niners are trying to do here. I really think Zach Kerr and Mo Hurst make this roster with DJ Jones and Kevin Givens. I think the odd man out in this group is probably going to be Kentavious Street, but I could be wrong on that. I really think Zach Kerr and Hurst make this roster over Kentavious Street. So I think that's really the battle there. Three guys for two spots, and Kentavious Street's the odd man out.
Is Arden still there or no? Am I?
Arden Key. Yeah, he'll be more edge guy. So
Okay. Man, I like your thought process in terms of being able to rotate a lot of different players and keep guys fresh. I think that is where the Niners have learned their lesson from the Super Bowl loss and staying pat pretty much with where the team was at. They are definitely hell-bent on rotating these edge rushers and keeping guys. They have to keep Bosa fresh because you talked about, you know, in the past, you've mentioned quite a bit, you know, George Kittle, super aggressive. He's going to be a guy that's always going to miss games here and there. Not maybe, hopefully not a lot, but he's always going to miss a couple throughout mm-hmm. the course of the season. And I think it's going to be the same thing with Bosa. And if we think that, you know, the year we went to the Super Bowl, we can do that to a kid like Bosa year in and year out, that kind of work rate, we're fooling ourselves if we can think that that guy can hold up in the league with the speed and the aggressiveness that he plays with, the tenacity. We can't run him into the ground. So there are some interesting decisions, but if I look at the list, like you said, I mean, I guess Kentavious is that guy, unfortunately, and I'm a fan of his as well, but I like it. I like Givens quite a bit. Kerr, Hurst, like, It is tough, man, to have a roster that we have, because these are hard decisions. Like, if you're talking about, like, these are good players that mm-hmm. are going to get picked up pretty quickly, and there's going to be a few, and most likely probably by the Seattle Seahawks real quick, right? The second, like, geez. But we're in a good place because this roster is loaded with talent, and it's unfortunate that there's some really good players that aren't going to make this team.
Yeah, it's a stacked roster, I think. I don't think it's as top heavy as the 2019 roster. I think it's a little bit deeper. You know, D Ford, we'll see if he's even able to play.
Yeah, that's big.
You got a lot of guys who are just really talented players that no one really knows about. Kevin Givens being one of them. Everyone knows who Mo Hurst is because of his time in Michigan, but, you know, he just hasn't performed well. He's had injuries and other health concerns. And then Zach Kerr is another guy in Carolina. Really solid player, really great run defender. So that's, you know, that's just a plus. So I think the Niners are in a really good spot, and I think they're expecting to get more of an interior pass rush as opposed to an edge pass rush. And then, of course, we all know about Arik Armstead and Kinlaw. Those guys are obviously going to be stalwarts of this defensive line. You're getting a rotation of all those guys in there. It's going to be – it's for the benefit of everyone there. You know, long gone are the Chip Kelly days of 1,000 snaps on defense, right? DeForest Buckner, 1,077 snaps in 2016. Insane, should have never happened. Yep. Thank you, Chip Kelly. Way to go, buddy. But, you know, it's in the comments here. There's a lot of comments going on. So I guess we'll get to it. I wanted to kind of avoid the quarterback talk, but it is –
No way. We're gonna talk about quarterbacks?
Is there a convo about that? Yeah, so the Niners drafted Trey Lance at 3. We all know that. Jimmy Garoppolo is still under contract. The Niners can cut bait with him at any time right now with minimal – cap charges and cap hits. So our guy Daniel Meyer here. All right, can someone explain why the fan base is delusional and thinks that Jimmy is a starter? First, I don't think the fan base is delusional in thinking that. I think the fan base is the word delusional is not the right word, I guess. I think they see 2019, they think that can be repeated, right? And I think a lot of us I think 2019 can also be repeated, right, as far as the numbers for Jimmy Garoppolo. Just statistically, I think he can redo 3,600 yards, 26 touchdowns, and hopefully cut the turnovers down, but he had, I think, 19 total turnovers, fumbles included, and then, of course, the interceptions. But, you know, it's when you have a quarterback like Trey Lance who played it at North Dakota State, which isn't a big school, you know, I can understand why some folks are like, no, he's not ready, this, then, the third. I can understand why you may not want to go ahead and utilize Trey right away. But at the same time, you know, the Niners told you what they thought of Jimmy Garoppolo. They thought enough of him to trade all those assets to get to number three and pick a quarterback. So I think it's more about, it's not if Jimmy Garoppolo gets replaced, it's more like when he gets replaced. So at this point, like, I don't care who starts week one anymore. You know, we heard Mike Person on ours. We spoke to him. What'd he say? Kyle's going to make a decision for the 49ers.
Yep. He's not going to hesitate. And if that's Trey, he's going to pull the trigger.
Kyle said that in several press conferences. He's like, I'm not opposed to starting a rookie quarterback. I'm not opposed to having him sit. But if he's ready, he said it, I will not hesitate to start him. And I think the, what stuck with me the most in Kyle's press conference a couple of weeks ago was, you know, he said it. He said, you know, we'll know when he's if he's ready to compete, he'll compete, and his teammates will know. And I think you're hearing a lot of talk from his teammates. Hey, this kid Trey is a really good leader. Guys are working out with him already. You know, how many videos we've seen of Ayuk, Sanu, Richie James, Craycraft,
River,
all these guys with Trey working out. You know, that it's probably nothing. It's just the guys are getting their workouts in, but that still counts for something in my book. You know, maybe Trey is just better at texting back, guys. We all know George Kittle makes fun of Jimmy for not texting back. So
it's a big deal. That's a big deal these days.
It's just one of those things. I think Kyle wants to break out the shiny new toy, like all of us. You know, I haven't worn this jersey yet. I wanted to put it on for today. So yeah, I mean, I just been wanting to.
It's 54. Yeah. He ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, and Fred will be signed. I'm not worried about that. I think what person said it best. He's Kyle's more Bill Belichick than people give him credit for.
Yes.
Kyle is ruthless. He will do what he needs to do to win. And if that means starting Jimmy till week eight, cool. If it means starting Lance week one, cool. It's going to happen. And I ride with Kyle.
Yeah.
I'll ride with Kyle. So
I'll ride with Kyle as well. And look, I mean, Kyle has made it pretty clear, right? That while Jimmy has done some really good things, I mean, in no way, I mean, Kyle has not stopped his search for a quarterback. And that should tell you all you need to know. I mean, from the second Jimmy has gotten here, and look, we went to a Super Bowl. That's one thing. But every time a mic gets put in Kyle's face, he's not really saying the things you think you would say if you felt like this is your guy forever. Kyle has been looking and will continue to look for that quarterback. And Kyle kind of, at least you get the impression that he found his guy and it's a matter of time. My thing is, when is that time? Is Jimmy ready? Is this competition, as it heats up in camp, it's going to be interesting, because you know every flipping throw is going to be completely scrutinized and overanalyzed by every human being that's covering the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And we're going to fall victim to that, because we're going to have to talk about it and we're going to go through it. But it's a matter of time. Trey will be a starter before we know it. And maybe it's start of the season. Maybe it's middle of the season. Maybe it's a couple games into the season. But at the end of the day, my biggest concern is the Niners seem pretty hell-bent on not allowing a quarterback injury to derail their season by committing to being okay with eating Garoppolo's salary. But is Garoppolo going to be okay if he just gets beat? And that's what I don't know, because Kyle will pull the trigger if Trey beats him. And it's not going to – and like you've said it in the past in other episodes, if it's a tie – it's got to go to Trey. There's no way. Like a tie is going to go to Trey, and either Trey just completely beats him, or it's a tie, which still goes to him. Jimmy has to win this and win it outright. And if he doesn't, is he okay playing backup and having the mic on and talking with him and studying film and helping the kid? Or is he trying to, you know, take the next flight out of San Francisco? And that I don't know yet. I don't know how this plays out. Because in a perfect world, regardless of who's quarterback, we have a really good second. We have a really good backup in case of injury, but I don't know how long that lasts. So, hey, Josh Rosen, let's go, baby. Like, step that game up, baby. Like, step that game up.
Please, no.
Come on, Josh. Let's go. Start ripping it.
Yeah. Sooner or later, it's gonna be Trey. I don't think we touched on the Stafford thing the last time, but I think, you know, that's also, you know, this whole entire offseason was pretty telling. You know, Kyle's been looking for his new girlfriend. You know what I mean? He's in a relationship, but he doesn't really love her.
He's been swiping, bro. Yeah. He's been swiping.
Yeah, he's been swiping right a lot. You know, he swiped right on Watson, couldn't get her, or couldn't get him. Swiped right on Stafford, couldn't get him. You know, he kind of was in the middle with Darnold, didn't pull the trigger. Called on Teddy, didn't pull the trigger. Draft day, hey, Green Bay, is Rodgers available? Right? If those three, Watson, Stafford, or Rodgers were a Niner, Jimmy wouldn't be here, obviously. Mm-hmm. Darnold, maybe Jimmy's here. Teddy, maybe Jimmy's here. But if Darnold or Teddy are here, then you're probably going to move off from Jimmy and draft the rookie anyways, right? So you're still, you know, Kyle's telling you exactly what he wants to do, and it's been very clear for a while. But at this point, you know, it's been over a year. You know, we were doing this last offseason with the Brady stuff. It's been a year. It's exhausting now. It's like, all right, man, just Kyle, marry your quarterback now. Like, just do it. Like, just commit, man.
It's
like,
2021, bro. People don't commit to anything these days.
Open relationships.
There's always open. You're right. Like, why marry? Like, let's enjoy this while it lasts and move on. And Kyle seems like, hey, thanks, Jimmy. All right. Like, you did what we needed to, but you know what? I always got my eye looking somewhere else to see if there's something better. And if there is, I'm not going to hesitate to make that happen. And that's very Bill Belichick to me. That sounds very Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Hey, yes. Thank you. You worked really hard for me this season and you went out there and you balled out, but if the return's nice and I think we can move on and we can get another player that can fill your shoes and do a pretty good job and we can get some assets or, you know, we can go out there and get someone else. You know, I'm not afraid to move you. And Kyle's just going to be like, it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's a quarterback, a receiver, a tight end. If you are not the top player at your position in the league, Kyle's looking.
Yeah.
And if he can improve the roster, he's going to improve the roster, right? Like, you can't really do that with George Kittle.
No.
Right? Like, there's not a whole lot of tight ends that are better. You're not doing it with Fred. Exactly. Jimmy Ward.
Yeah.
But if there's a position that you can do that, Kyle's always looking. He's going to make the call. He's going to wheel and deal. He's going to see how far he can get to make this roster as good as it can be. Because honestly, we're getting close to like, hey, let's start putting this together. Where's the direction of this franchise? Because we've got 4 wins, 13 wins. You know, like we're going high and low, and we've had injuries, and we've had the injury bug for a little bit. But at some point, it's not going to be an excuse anymore. At some point, we've got to create some consistency and be able to move forward. And I think Kyle knows this season's a really big season for that. We can't afford another bust kind of season. And he's put a lot of people in places to be able to make sure that injuries and he can keep people fresh and we've got a roster that can go out there and compete every week.
Yeah. And it to me, it's playoffs or bust for this team. You have to make the playoffs. Wild card, division, whatever. You just have to make the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Make the playoffs. Cool, Kyle. You've earned yourself another 2 years of people not being on your ass. You got to make the playoffs this year. So, but you have to commit, man. You got to commit to something. And if Trey Lance is your guy, then commit to him and pull the trigger. If he's ready, he's ready.
So, you know, so let's
Harbaugh
do it right here.
To pull the trigger with Alex Smith.
You're right. And yeah, and that was unfortunate.
But also,
right?
Harbaugh had the out of, hey, he had a concussion. So,
yep. So you do it right here. One last time, Avi. This is it. When does Trey Lance start?
Week one.
Where is Jimmy Garoppolo week one?
Philadelphia.
Oh, gone. So he's not even on. He's not on the sideline.
I mean,
week one, he's in Philadelphia. He's in Philadelphia. Trey's starting.
Yeah, I mean, because we can talk about other NFL teams sure. now. Shit, yeah. we're going. I've had a few drinks. This tequila's
yeah, really good. Let's go.
Why not Philadelphia? You're in Philly. Do they like Jalen Hurts there? Absolutely not.
They're right? some people, but they're not sold. They are would definitely the Niners, not sold.
Would the Niners take a third round pick from Philadelphia to get Jimmy Garoppolo off the books? Probably.
I think they would. For right? the third round?
And Philadelphia. Philadelphia has talent. Lane Johnson is back. Their left guard from Washington State is back. Dillard. Brooks, the guard, is back. The running back room is pretty good. Wide receivers are fairly decent. You still got Dallas Goedert. Zach Ertz is on the team. Defensively, they're a little shaky, but you're in the NFC East. That's an easier schedule.
Yeah. Right?
Jimmy could be successful there. You know, the only team I'm really concerned about in the East is Washington. That defense is really good.
I like Washington.
They have good offensive players. So, I mean, you know, if I had to bet, Philadelphia would be a great spot for him. Can he handle the pressure in Philadelphia? I don't know. Philly's ruthless. If you think Niner fans are bad.
Yeah,
Philly's
I was just going to say, if you think Niner fans are bad.
What about Houston? Philly. The Houston call?
Man. Is it Sean? If I'm Jimmy, I'm going anywhere but Houston. I don't want to go anywhere near Houston.
No, I agree. What about Washington? If Washington calls, says, hey, we're not really in on Fitz. And Martin Mayhew is the GM, former 49er executive. He's in Washington now. Hey, John, Kyle, we know you don't really want to keep Jimmy around much longer. We'll send you a third round pick for Jimmy. Send it over. Right? If Trey is ready, you got to figure out a way to get Jimmy off, because if Jimmy loses the battle in camp, what other trade value do you have?
Well, that's where I just get I get nervous, because the Niners make it seem
and Denver is another option.
Denver is an option. That's a good one. Why? You know, I know the Niners have gone through and said, hey, we are completely okay with eating this salary. And I actually believe them. Like, I actually believe, even if Trey wins.
Must be nice to have that kind of money.
Right? They're okay with allowing Jimmy to have the headset on and play backup. I honestly believe that. But I also think their thought process is, eventually someone's going to make a call and we're going to get a little bit more than what we could have if we moved him now or a little bit later. You know, someone's going to be a little desperate and give us a little bit more. And a third round sounds really enticing, even if you did want him as a backup. But I need Trey to make it clear, the same way Russell Wilson made it clear as a rookie in Seattle that he was the guy. Right. Even yeah. though they went and paid Matt Flynn to come over to possibly be the guy. Right. Like, Russell went out there and won that. And yeah. they pulled the trigger and they haven't thought about it since. They moved on from Matt and that was it. Now, they weren't paying Matt anywhere near Jimmy. Right. But I need it to be like that. I don't need it to be, well, this is my guy, so we just want to start him to start him. Mm-hmm. I need it to be, this guy went out there. He was a leader. People rallied around him. He went over and won this job. Whether or not that makes Jimmy, you know, whether or not what that does to Jimmy's trajectory of his career and what that means for us, I need it to be a win. And it's got to be for me to pull the trigger. He's got to win it outright, in my opinion. But we'll see what I mean. We're going to see what happens. And I'm so happy we're literally about a week away, 7 days away when this comes out. Well, maybe 6 days away.
Yeah.
But man, it is going to be some kind of shit, man. Every single day hearing about how many picks or what kind of throws or like, it's going to be yeah. something. It yeah, really this, will be.
It'll be nonstop. It'll be Grant Cohn will tweet out, hey, Jimmy was 3 for 8 with 2 picks and a touchdown. And Trent Lance was 5 for 5 or vice versa, right? You'll have all those things on your Twitter feed.
Yep.
You know, the biggest thing, I think the biggest news, I think we're waiting on the Aaron Rodgers domino to fall. Wherever Rodgers lands mm-hmm. kind of helps, you know, lay out the terrain for the rest of the NFL.
I mean, okay, if we're talking about quarterbacks, what do you think about Aaron? Like, what do you think about this, that Aaron situation? I don't know if anyone's asked you, but it's an intriguing situation.
Yeah, it's fun. It's just weird. I think it's really weird.
I think it's weirder than Brett Favre with the Packers at the end of that. I think it's weirder than that because I'm seeing him golf. I'm seeing them throw shade at the Packers. it's a weird, super weird situation. At least then I didn't hear anything. And it was like Brett went away and no one can talk to him. And then, I'm coming back. And this is a weird situation.
I think Daniel hit on the head, though. You can't trade Aaron. It's career suicide. If you trade Aaron Rodgers to Denver or to Philadelphia or to, let's say, Miami calls and says, hey, look, we'll trade you to and some other shit for Aaron. My. And then Miami just wins the AFC East and they go on to a Super. Like, LaFleur will be crucified. Gutekunst will be crucified in Green Bay.
Sure.
Like the Favre thing didn't play out really well. It played out fine because he went to the Jets first and then he went to Minnesota, right?
I was just going to say.
That was fine, but this is completely different. Trading Aaron is just really wild. I don't think in any world LaFleur would want Jimmy Garoppolo in a trade either. Like if there was like a three-way trade, which Daniel suggested or one of the guys in here suggested. Yeah. What about Jimmy to Green Bay in a three-way trade, Rodgers to Denver, Jimmy to Green Bay and Teddy Bridgewater, San Francisco? Well, to me, the money doesn't make sense. I think Jimmy's money makes sense and Teddy's money makes sense, but the Green Bay and Rodgers money just really, really wild. So it's really interesting. This whole offseason has been nuts. Crazy. So much quarterback movement, right? All these quarterbacks got moved. Darnold's in Carolina, Andy Dalton's in Chicago, Justin Fields in Chicago, Niners drafted a quarterback, Cam and Mac Jones in New England. You got Zach Wilson in New York. You got Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. Deshaun Watson getting massages in places where you shouldn't have got massaged. Carson Wentz is in Indy. Like, it's all over the place, right?
Hey,
like, the NFC East is wild. Like, I think the team that kind of makes sense for me, another team that's kind of like low-key makes sense for me for the Niners or for Jimmy Garoppolo is the Giants.
Wow, really?
Yeah, if you take away Daniel Jones' turnovers, which Jimmy Garoppolo is not as bad as Daniel Jones' turnovers, that's a better team. But Daniel Jones gives you a lot more athletic ability. But I would not mind seeing Jimmy in New York.
Interesting. Man. We'll see. I don't know. This NFL season has me super intrigued because we just talked about Aaron. I don't think I've ever seen a situation quite like this year, this offseason with Aaron Rodgers and his team. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like that. Like, that is a very, very tough situation for an organization when clearly one of the three best quarterbacks in all of football is just hanging around like, we'll see what happens. We'll see. I mean, hey, maybe we'll see. And then you're offering this guy so much money and he's not even accepting that. He's like, I don't know. You know, like it's really not about the money.
Well, they offered him $40 million.
Yeah. Like
he said, no,
it's not about the money. Like you disrespected me kind of, and you haven't come through, right? Like you drafted this quarterback and it's a weird, and like you said, this is the big domino. Because it's similar to that whole Peyton Manning. And the only difference is Peyton Manning was coming off, what, neck surgery?
Yeah.
And who knew exactly what he was going to be able to do? Aaron Rodgers, if he doesn't break his collarbone, I mean, as long as Aaron Rodgers doesn't break his collarbone, the dude's a baller. I mean, and we know that. He might be like a little arrogant and kind of asshole-ish, but
that's what I want my quarterback, though.
Yeah, like you got to have a guy that goes out there and is like, hey, I can win this game with my arm if I need to.
Yeah.
Like I'll go out there and do this shit by myself if I have to. And Aaron has that and he's brash and it is definitely, if you are not on his side, he's an asshole. But he is what you want to court. That's confidence. That's confidence in the huddle. Like, let's go, boys. We got to come on. You got me. Don't worry about it. Just go out there, run your route. I'll find you.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers scares the living shit out of me.
Yeah. Just like Russell does. Just like Russell. Like those kind of guys are game. So special.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how in the current landscape of the, like, how these situations even happen to the point where he's that disconnected from a franchise. And then now the franchise is still offering him millions of dollars. And he's like, nah, you're like, now I'm like, whatever about it. He's out there with little baddies out there on the island. Like he's having a blast, dude, playing golf. Tom Brady's having a blast with it. I mean, this is an interesting situation and the landscape of the NFL can very much change depending on wherever he goes. And that's exactly probably what's going on with this Jimmy thing as well. Trey's going to be out there balling. Nothing's going to happen with Jimmy until something happens with Aaron. I mean, so who knows? I mean,
yeah,
who knows where this ends up? If teams
can figure out a way to get Aaron, they'll do that instead of, pulling the trigger on a Jimmy trade or something like
Absolutely.
That. Or a
Absolutely.
Watson trade. With Watson, we don't know if he'll even play this year. So it's just, it's pretty nuts. Yeah. So I wish it wasn't as difficult because it's just so many moving pieces. Like, it's really hard to figure out. Like, this entire offseason has been, and it's weird because, like, my wife's like, what are you like, I'm up at night just thinking about this shit. She's like, what are you thinking about? Another woman? I'm like, no, just where's Jimmy Garoppolo going to play in 2021?
Honestly,
who we're going to draft this year. Like I would be up, like, late watching tape and doing a whole bunch of shit. Like, I'm not getting paid for any of this, right? It's just like, we're dedicated to this team. So it's just like,
it's so true.
How many times you text me at 1 a.m. or I text you like, hey, what the hell are we doing?
Right? Sometimes my wife leans over like trying to catch what I'm texting. And I'm like, I'm literally talking about the 49ers, Sahabi. Yeah. Like, hey, do you want to see it? And it's so nerdy, but yeah, I mean, we're literally that simple. Like, I'm not that deep of a guy. Like,
no.
Let me go catch a game once a year. Let me watch my 49ers every Sunday. Let me watch my Lakers, Yankee. Like, just, and I'm good. I don't need any. Like you said, I might roll over and be like, holy shit, like, I had to ask Javi a question. And who are you texting? Javi. Oh, and now
my wife
now I get made fun of. Now, yeah, exactly. Now I get made fun of by my wife. Oh, you texting your girlfriend, Javi. I'm like, yeah, like, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Don't be jealous. But there's a lot, man. There's a lot of moving parts this year. And I think that's what's going to make this next season so, so exciting, because chips are falling. And this is going to be a really interesting year, right? After COVID, right? Now we're going back to the traditional, like, cuts right after preseason game. Things are getting back to normal after a really weird couple of years. And our team in particular, the 49ers, are in a very interesting crossroad of their trajectory altogether.
Yeah.
Because in all honesty, failure isn't always one big decision. You know, it's usually cumulative of a bunch of little decisions that you make, and what does that pan out? And we're now at a point with this Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch era where they've had a number of drafts now. They've made a number of trades. They have made moves. And now we can start to, like, really look at this blueprint of where this team's going, where this organization's going. And you know, look, I think they've done a pretty good job. I think they've, man, I don't want to look back, but I mean, that whole Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes draft is gut-wrenching. Maybe we should do something to that one of those days. Really start, let's play hindsight, right? And look at what could have happened, because they have a track record now. And let's see what happens. I think they're still in a really good place. But we got to get in the right place, or else we're going to look back and be like, man, if they would have done this, this, and this, and this, we would have been in such a better place. And I'm hoping we can go and just say, hey, look, they made the tough decisions. They made some good ones, some bad ones. But at the end of the day, they got us where we needed to. And I think Kyle is a smart enough coach that he knows he's got a really good team, and he knows the window in the NFL is it's not a large window. You don't get a window of opportunity very large, and he's got a really good team that, a really good roster that can go out there and compete for a Super Bowl. But like you said, let's get to the playoffs. Let's win 11 games. Let's get back. Like, it doesn't have to be four wins, and then all of a sudden a 13-win season.
Yeah.
Because we've done that, right? Like, this is like rewind shit. This is Baltimore all over again. Like, and this stuff happens. So let's get back to, let's become the stable franchise where we're always in that 10-win range, and we're always getting
Seahawks.
In there.
That's going to bother people, but let's be the Seahawks.
Let's get there. Like, I don't want really good and then really fucking shitty within a year. Like, I don't want that. Like, I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, give me some stability where we're drafting in the late first round for a few years in a row. Like, give me that. Like, look, the Jimmy Garoppolo injury. Fine. We walk out of that with Nick Bosa, and then a healthy Jimmy for a season. And then that helps catapult us to another level. But, like, give me some stability now. Let's get some quarterback play. Let's keep our quarterback healthy. Let's get some offensive line play. Let's go. Like, let's get this moving in the right direction.
Yeah. They are pointing up, and that is the hope. We are looking, hopefully, at 11-win season. But we are, again, 7 days away from camp. By the time you hear this, it'll be 6/27th will be the date that the 49ers arrive for just check-ins, I guess, you know, your first couple days of training camp. But we'll be back sometime next week. Just be on lookout for that. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming out in the next couple days. This is going to be an eventful 50 days until the season starts.
Yes, it is.
Between Rodgers, Jimmy, Deshaun, a lot of quarterback movement still left to happen. Camp battles all over the league. Fields, Lance, we all know Mac Jones and Cam Newton. It's going to be very, very interesting. And then Trey Lance is going to be compared to the guys that were taken after him. So it's going to be very interesting on how that works out. Fields and Mac Jones versus Trey Lance as far as all that stuff goes in the first season. And pretty much their entire careers are going to be attached. So it's going to be very, very interesting. A lot to cover. But as always, I'm Javi. That is Fern. Catch us on Twitter. Me at @JaviVague_. Catch my guy Fern at
DZ0880.
And then, of course, we shout out to the guys at Niners Nation for giving me the opportunity to go work over there and run a show with my guy Leo Luna. We have the
so awesome
Oh Hey There podcast.
That was so sick, man. You guys ball. Can I just give you some props? I just want to say everything. I just want to everybody. I've had a few drinks. Javier is a longtime friend of mine from childhood, and I'm not lying. I remember the day he called me about his vision podcast and what he was thinking. And this guy, you don't understand how hard he works, how hard he goes after this, from graphics to studying the film, the tape, you know, like to really become a student of the game, to go after this every single day while being a dad, husband, taking care of kids, working. I mean, this guy is as dedicated as they come. So then when I see a long time, you know, best friend of mine go out there and really make something from scratch, you know, all props. Much love to my brother Javi. Leo's out there killing it. You guys did your thing. I'm so proud of you guys, especially you, Javi, for going out there and making something from scratch, from something in your brain, and just going out there and working so hard for it, bro. I mean, that's big time. That's what it's all about. So much props, much blessings to you.
I appreciate that, bro. We are on the way up, you and I, as well, with the 4th and Goal podcast. We got a lot coming. Chicago is going to be fun. But until next week, everyone stay safe. You know, COVID numbers are going up. My wife is a nurse, so help her out. Help your medical staffs and everything else like that by taking care of yourself. Excuse me. And be safe out there so we get back to these games. Educate yourself and make the proper decisions. But until then, go Niners. Everyone stay safe. Peace.
Let's go. Peace.